Hello and welcome to an all new episode of the Bike Wale Podcast. I'm your host Anuj and I'm happy to be back with some more interesting content about motorcycles, scooters and about riding them. Now, monsoon is already here in some parts of India and we at Bike Wale love to ride in the rain. No doubt it's a bit tricky as compared to doing it in the dry. However, there are a few techniques which can make it really safe and we have discussed these techniques in the previous episode. So, do not forget to listen to the last week's episode. Now, what we are going to discuss today is something I was really personally looking forward to. Long rides are something all the biking enthusiasts really desire to do. But there are some people who think it's quite a Herculean task, especially the preparation. But believe us, it is not that difficult. There are a few crucial things you need to remember. And you can be good to munch over 1,000 kilometers without worrying much. And we will tell you what these crucial things are. And joining me in this discussion once again is Suhil. Suhil, welcome to the show.
Hi Anuj, it's good to be back on the show.
So I must tell you people, Suhil is an avid traveler, someone who keeps looking for small excuses to hit the road on a pair of wheels. So be ready for some really valuable insights. Now, starting with what actually is a long ride. I mean, the definition might vary from person to person. For someone who is not really experienced, might feel that a 200 kilometer ride in a single day is a bit too much. But there are people who can, just hit the road and munch around 1,000 kilometers in a single day and they would be good to have a dinner with you at night. So it actually depends on two main things, experience and your willpower. Even if some people are not experienced, but they are willing to do it anyhow, they will be able to do it. But we must tell you that there are certain repercussions to that. So a fresher might not be able to do 800 to 1,000 kilometers in a single day. So we must say 500 or 600 kilometers should be doable. But it also depends on the terrain and traffic on the way. If you are on a route that involves a lot of sand, rock, or river crossing, or even say if the road conditions are pretty bad, the distance you will be covering in a day goes on decreasing. So our opinion is that if you are planning to ride for say 10, 15 days or 20 days in one go, reduce the distance you will be covering each day by about 20-30% as per your capacity. Say if you can ride for 700 kilometers in a day, reduce it down to 550 or 600. How that will help is throughout your journey, you won't be tired by the half of the journey or say 80% of your journey. If you have some stamina left every day and you are not fully tired, you'll be ready, fresh to start your ride the next day. That's what I think. What do you have to say about this, Suhil?
Definitely, Anuj. Different riders have different capacity to ride. As you said, for someone, 200 kilometers might be a long road trip. But for others, like someone like you and I, who have been going to probably Mumbai to Igatpuri or Mumbai to Pune just to have breakfast, 200 kilometers might not sound too much for people like us. So it depends. It varies from person to person. I think it also depends on a person's health. I think, the fit you are, the more you can ride. I think that's one of the more important things to consider, fitness, physical fitness and mental fitness. If I talk about physical fitness, I think you should be completely 100% okay before you start a motorcycle road trip, because even a smallest injury, right? A smallest injury can get amplified on a motorcycle if you are riding it for prolonged distances. So I think it's really important that you should be physically fit. Again, mental health is also important. You can't start a road trip with an angry mind. I think you should be really calm before you start such road trips, because if you start with an angry mind, the Indian road conditions are not going to make it any better, because we have, not all the places, but some places where, the traffic is horrendous, or there's someone or the other who's not following the rules and you might just get triggered even further. So I think being completely... being completely mentally and physically fit is really important for any road trip, according to me.
Absolutely, Suhil. And I think when it comes to riding fully fed motorcycles, that is plays even more important role, right?
Yes. I mean, as per my experience, I have found that I could clock a lot more kilometers on the Himalayan as compared to I could do on my KTM 200 Duke, because the Himalayan, it's more friendly. It's got more upright ergonomics. It's got better wind protection than the than my KTM. So it depends on motorcycle to motorcycle. A fully fed motorcycle like, let's say, a Yamaha R15 or a KTM RC390. Of course, you can do a lot of miles on them, but they won't be as comfortable as they might be on a KTM 390 Adventure or a BMW 310 GS or the Himalayan.
Absolutely. So it's very important to prepare yourselves. And the next thing which comes into the picture is preparing your motorcycle, which will be your main companion during the journey. And the first thing that you should be looking at is basic servicing. When I say basic servicing, everything that you do in your periodic maintenance servicing, like getting all the fluids topped up, getting your brake pads replaced if they have worn out, and every basic stuff, I mean, you should get your lights checked. They should be working absolutely fine. All the controls, the switch gear, and apart from these things, one of the most important things is tires. So tires play a very important role when you're out riding on a long trip. That's because you will be riding at considerably higher average speed as compared to at speeds you commute in your city. And you'll be coming across different terrain as well. So the speed of your tires wearing out will be much more than your normal commute or your daily riding. And so it's always a good idea to get them replaced if they are just about to, reach their expiry date or their lifeline. But if you think there's some rubber left that can be used, it's always a good idea, if possible, to make prior arrangements for it on your journey. Suppose you might need them on your 6th or 8th day of your ride. And if you already know where you will be, and if that place has a tire shop, then you can make prior arrangements. You can call them up. You can ask them if they have the tire that suits your bike. Then it's always a good idea to have prepared for it. Because that's the main thing. That's the thing that connects you and the road. But there are other things as well, which I think Suhil can tell you better.
Yes. I think apart from the basic preparation, I think you can use the optional accessories to make your journey more comfortable, your motorcycle more comfortable during these long rides. For starters, you can opt for a better seat, a touring focus seat, or you can go for aftermarket accessories. Like I think Abhishek was using that aftermarket seat on his Royal Enfield Bullet, which had those air bubbles for extra padding to give more comfort on long rides. So something of that sort that would come really handy on your road trip. Second thing, if your motorcycle does not have a tall windscreen, I think you can opt for an aftermarket windscreen that can give you some amount of protection, if not a very comprehensive protection. I think some amount of protection is also always a good idea, because it will make your high-speed cruising more comfortable. You can cruise on highway speeds without a lot of wind blasts, and I think that will play an important role in long-distance rides. So that's something that you should consider. Third thing, you can always opt for something to improve the ergonomics of your motorcycle. So a handlebar riser, something that can raise the height of the handlebar a little bit, make your ergonomics a little more comfortable. I think these are the small things that you should consider adding to your motorcycle to make your journey more comfortable.
And Suhil, I want to add here that if someone who is already riding his bike for a long time and he has already done some road trips on that bike, they might know their bike very well if it does need those accessories or not. But people who are first timers, or they have recently bought a new bike on which they'll be going on a long ride for the first time, it's always a good idea to go on short rides, say 100 or 200 kilometers, which should be before the ride. I mean, a week or two prior to the ride. So these short rides will help you understand what all things that bike needs, or if you need them or not, because a setting might be comfortable for someone and it might not be for the other. So that's what you should do.
That's true.
This
that's
is called
true.
Yeah. This will be kind of a testing for you, right? For the rider as well as for the bike.
No. Yes, yes. And you can, once you ride your motorcycle for, let's say, 100, 200 kilometers over a weekend and get a fair idea about how the motorcycle feels and what sort of improvements you want to make to it, you still have some amount of time before your actual road trip. You can use that time to accessorize your motorcycle, make it more comfortable for your long road trip.
Correct, correct. And even people can do with some extra crash guards as well if their journey is going to involve some off-roading where there are more chances of falling off your bike, tipping over and damaging something.
If I can just add one point over here. I think the basics crash guards that come from the company are fairly protective, if I can call them. But it again depends on what sort of motorcycle you're riding. If you're riding a fully fed motorcycle, you might want to add some more protection. Like let's say if I take the example of R15. Yamaha R15 does not come with any crash guard. The KTM RC390 does not come with any sort of a crash guard, right? So in these motorcycles, you might want to go to the aftermarket and get some good crash bars. Maybe if you own an adventure motorcycle, the 390 Adventure or something in the middle weight like the Versus 650, you can always get a more comprehensive crash guard protection. So yes, again, it depends on motorcycle to motorcycle. But what I have found in my experience, the stock crash guard works fairly well, decent. It gives a decent amount of protection.
Right, right. And especially if it's liquid cooled bike and there's no crash guard around the radiator, that's very important because damaging a radiator can be a very, very time consuming and expensive thing to repair. And if you are in a remote location, then you are really in trouble.
True,
your
true.
Radiator gets damaged. Yeah.
Absolutely true.
So that was about preparing your motorcycle. Now, moving on to the next thing, setting up your luggage. Most of the people might know that there are different type of luggage options these days for motorcycles. There are hard panniers, there are saddle bags, there's top box. You can also simply mount your duffel bag through straps or bungee cords. There are tank bags, and there's this very interesting concept called claw type bag, which goes over your pillion seat around on its sides. So there are multiple options, but there are two situations in setting up the luggage. One thing could be that you'll be riding solo. Second would be you'll be having a pillion. So if you're riding solo, there are multiple options. There are a plethora of options, luggage options. You can use anything from tank bag to top box to having panniers, saddlebags. But I must tell you that for having these saddlebags and panniers, in most cases, you'll have to have those saddle stays or those brackets for mounting so that those saddlebags or panniers don't come in contact with your tires while the bike is in motion. But when you're riding with a pillion, the concept of having bag mounted on the pillion seat gets eliminated. You'll have to think about the pillion comfort as well. You'll have to leave them space to sit. Apart from that, some top boxes are panniers are such, they are designed in such a way that the pillion might have a problem in getting on board the bike or getting off the bike. So you'll have to be careful about that also. And actually, apart from the big stuff, the big luggage options, I must add that the tank bag could also be very useful here because you can store small documents or say small water bottle, a cloth, extra helmet visor, these things, which you can't really take off your main luggage, which have been very securely fastened around your bike. Tank bags are very useful. What do you have to say about tank bags, Suvil? I mean, you have used it on your long trips.
I did, the most recent one being during the coastal ride that I did on the Himalayan. I used the Rhinox tank bag for my road trip. I used it as a tail bag. I used it as a tank bag. The good thing about using it as a tank bag is it gives you the biggest feature is having a mobile phone pocket in it that you can use to keep your phone and use it as a GPS device to use it to use Google Maps on your road trips, right? Because you don't know on most of the occasions the roads where you're going. So I think that's one of the biggest things when you're using a time bag. Secondly, it gives you easy access to so many things. You can keep a quick snack in them, maybe a protein bar or something. You can keep the documents of your motorcycle so that you don't have to really dig for them when you know you're stopped by cops just for the regular checkups or something. So I think a tank bag does a very good job of giving quick access to your documents or maybe snacks or a lot of things.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So Anuj, if I can just pick up one point that you mentioned about securely mounting the luggage on the motorcycle, I think that's a very important point, because if you haven't mounted the luggage properly, if the especially the soft luggage panniers, if they swing, they come in contact with the rear tire or the exhaust, they can damage the they can get damaged the outer shell or even the contents of the panniers, the soft panniers. So I think it's very important to securely mount your luggage properly to protect it. Yes. Secondly, I think if you're using panniers, you should distribute the weight evenly so that, you know, your motorcycle doesn't, you don't feel your motorcycle is heavy on one side or it's pulling on one side. So you should try to distribute the weight evenly. Maybe if you've got a weighing scale at home, you can probably keep the bag and bring them as close to each other as possible before you start the motorcycle ride. I think these two points I really wanted to add.
Yes, absolutely right, Sovil. I must also tell our listeners that there are two main ways in which people like to mount their luggage on their pillion seat. Firstly, mounting it on the pillion seat with straps or bungee cords and having side saddlebags or panniers. But there are compromises in both cases. Firstly, when you are mounting it on top of the pillion seat, the bike gets top heavy, as you had told me once. And that hampers the overall geometry of the bike. Side saddlebags or panniers always work better than mounting it on top of the pillion seat. But having them on the sides, if they are too bulky, the problem would be that you can't maneuver your bike proper, or you will have to be very careful when you're maneuvering your bike through traffic. And even if you are riding through highway, there will be instances where you will come across traffic. So both these things have their own pros and cons, and you have to decide what suits you better. And moving on to our next part, I think waterproofing is very important, because in India, in most parts, and the kind of weather we have been seeing over the last few years, rains are very unpredictable. If you are riding before or a few days after the monsoon is over, you might still get rain through your journey. So I must say, you should always be ready for the rains. And the best thing would be to carry a basic raincoat set, the upper and lower part, always, all the time. And apart from that, you have to take care of your luggage as well. So when I say luggage, there are hard panniers which are already waterproof. And some of them are so good that no amount of water seeps into them, no matter how heavy the rains. But there are some plastic panniers which might not be so secure. It's always better to carry plastic bags, or some soft saddle bags already come with rain cover. So that would be nothing like it. And apart from the basic raincoat that I told you, it's always good to have protection for your boots as well. Some boots might already have rain protection. Some, even if they don't, you should always carry those boot protectors, those rain protectors, which are pretty cheap than buying a waterproof boots. And for your gloves, there are a few waterproof gloves as well, which actually cost too much. So if you don't want to go for them, spend so much, you can always opt for those surgical gloves. They are very, very secure in terms of keeping water from getting inside. What else can you think of, Suvil, for rain protection?
Yeah, before we head any further, I just want to clarify that surgical gloves are supposed to be worn inside your actual gloves that you have. Just to clarify, and you know, to make sure that our listeners know what we are saying. So yeah,
yes,
surgical
sir.
gloves,
Thank you. Thank
surgical gloves.
you.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
think apart from surgical gloves, one of the biggest concerns while riding in monsoons is the helmet visor fogging up, because you know, because of the difference of the temperature outside and the inside, the helmet tends to fog up. Now the simplest solution to that is getting a pinlock visor. Of course, it's not very cheap, but it's not very expensive either. I think $1,000 for a pinlock visor, $1,000-1,500 for a pinlock visor is a very good investment, because it helps keep the fogging issue away from the visor, and you have a more clearer view of the road in front of you even during heavy rain. So I think getting a pinlock insert or probably like an anti-fog visor, something of that sort, that will help keep the fog away from the visor, would be a great investment. That's basically
cool.
About waterproofing. Yeah, but then again, that's not the only thing that you should have. You should always carry some additional essentials, if I can call them essentials, with you that will come handy. We hope they don't, but it's a good thing to have them. And the first thing on the list is a first aid kit. Now, a lot of motorcycles come with a first aid kit, but they're not very comprehensive, right? They're like just basic kit with probably a burn cream or probably some bandages and everything. But I think you should carry a nice first aid kit with you. I'm not talking about a big box, but probably something, a small box that contains all the essentials. Apart from that, a tire inflator. You can get some really decent tire inflators for 2,000 rupees. I think Vikrant had done a review of Xiaomi tire inflator, a portable tire inflator. That was a very
right.
good accessory. So you should carry something of that sort. Then a puncture kit. A puncture kit would always come handy, especially if you're going for a ride where you're not going to be coming across a lot of puncture repair shops, or, you know, a little away from civilization, a little away from cities, and you know, you don't want to be stuck in the middle of nowhere with a punctured tire. So carrying a puncture kit, if you're using a tube tire, probably a couple of additional tubes would come really handy in your road trips.
And if I can add more to the list, I must say that the rider should have a Hydra pack as well. So if you are riding through a hot region, you will feel thirsty, and you'll know when you need to drink water. But when you're riding through cold region, your body needs water, but people tend to ignore it because that feeling of thirst is not there, but your body still needs water. And getting dehydrated and several physical problems take rise after you get overly dehydrated. So Hydra pack is a must, and because it's very convenient, you can't just keep stopping everywhere, take off your helmet, drink water, and put your lid on again, because that might, you know, disturb the other riders also. They will have to stop because of you. Yeah, but that also depends in what kind of group you're riding, how good a rapport you guys have. You should also have newspapers with you. Now, this might not sound like a very genius thing, but I have experienced this on my Arunachal ride when we had crossed a river crossing. After that, our boots were completely soaked. But at the end of the day, when I stuffed a lot of newspapers into the boots, all my boot was completely dried up by the morning, almost dried up. So yeah, obviously, if you are having accommodation at a good hotel, you have access to tissue papers. But you know, tissue papers can't replace newspapers actually. Because tissue papers, when they get wet, they really get, you know, compact and soggy. But newspapers absorb water really well. You must also carry a power bank. I mean, obviously, people are so technology nerd these days that they will not forget to carry this. But still, I must say that it's always a good idea. You may not know by how many kilometers your ride may get extended by the end of the day. You might be riding at night, and if you are phone doesn't have enough battery range, so you might need them, and not having a phone connection might be really tricky at times. And also the tire inflator kit which Suvil mentioned, which Vikrant had tested, we had tested it thoroughly, and Vikrant had written multiple reports about it, and I'll be attaching the link to those reviews in the description. Do not forget to click on it and check it out. We will be ending this episode by a tip for everyone that do not push yourself to 100% of your capacity while you're riding on long distance journeys, especially when on a route that is unknown to you. You must leave some room for error, right, Suvil?
Yes, definitely. I think I personally follow this rule. Of course, it's not scientifically proven, but I prefer to ride at about 70% of my riding capacity. I like to leave some room for error. It might not be error from my part, but you can't trust everyone on the road, right? Someone might come from a direction which is the traffic etiquettes in India. They're not that well, right? So you have to keep some margin for error, some room for error. And I think I would recommend everyone to ride at 70-75% of their capacity.
100%. Very true. Thank you so much, Suvil. And that's about it for this week, listeners. We hope this will be really helpful to, at least to some extent, the next time you plan to saddle up and set out on a long excursion. Thank you for listening to us. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode for all you people. Meanwhile, do write into us on podcast@bikewale.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We also have a lot of videos on YouTube on our official Bike Wale channel. Do not forget to check them out, like them, and share, comment, and subscribe to our channel as well. See you next week.